to CBS, KYN Portland.
There's a report saying that lawyers for Patricia Hearst are trying to work out a deal in return for her testimony against two associates. This is Doug Poling with CBS Radio Network. The North American Newspaper Alliance says it has learned discussions are underway between California prosecutors and Ms. Hearst's lawyers to grant possible immunity to her from state charges. The report says that would be in return for her testimony against William and Emily Harris, two other captured members of the Symeonese Liberation Army. In Los Angeles Thursday, Ms. Hearst and the Harrises were indicted on 11 counts. The grand jury indictments charged them with armed robbery, assault, and kidnapping. One lawyer for Ms. Hearst said authorities are trying to throw the book at her. In London early Friday, three gunmen released six hostages whom they'd held for 5 days in the basement of a restaurant. The hostages were apparently unharmed. Two of the gunmen surrendered. The third, described as the ringleader, shot himself in the stomach. He was taken to a hospital, and there's no word yet on his condition. The gunmen tried to rob the restaurant last Sunday. Police arrived during the attempt, and the hostages were taken. More news in a moment.
The makers of Allarest would like to extend their sincere apologies to the makers of tissues, the manufacturers of handkerchiefs, the launderers of shirt cuffs, for making such an effective hay fever medicine. Allarest, in tablets or time capsules, take only as directed. Only when needed.
Hi there, I'm Mike Roy here, along with Dennis Bracken.
And the big news about the cook thing tomorrow on CBS, we're going to have some nifty Neapolitan cooking on the Mullo, we are.
Yeah, kind of a falsification of you. Tomorrow I'm going to make a thing called mock ravioli. That'll turn any Italian the opposite direction. He'll start looking for the new world all over again, but it's good.
Is that any relation to ravioli?
No.
Or ravioli?
Ravioli, ravioli.
We'll unravel the ravioli ravioli tomorrow, friends, on Mike Roy's cook thing on CBS.
The House Thursday night reversed its arms embargo against Turkey, voting for a partial resumption of weapons sales to that country. The Senate has already approved the sales. The arms ban was imposed because of the Turkish invasion of Cyprus, but the U.S. was under threat of losing its military bases in Turkey if the ban was not lifted. A controversial African head of state has wound up his 2-day visit to the United Nations. Richard C. Hodlett has a report.
Uganda's President Idi Amin met reporters at UN headquarters this evening and repeated many of the points he had made to the General Assembly yesterday. He said Israel should be expelled from the UN for refusing to give up all occupied Arab territory. But he stressed his desire for peace in general, saying he gets along with everyone.
I work with everybody. I have people from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, United Kingdom, Germany, all corner of the world are working with me. Even I have some British from Royal Air Force, from Navy, who have joined Uganda Armed Forces, and I think you saw them kneeling down. That was a sign of love and respect and loyalty to their commander-in-chief, which is myself, Field Marshal Amin.
Amin declared that the world needs food, not phantom fighter bombers, and said that New York City was approaching bankruptcy because, in his words, the money goes to Israel to murder Arabs, unquote. Richard C. Hoddle at CBS News, United Nations.
At least one person was killed late Thursday night when fire swept through two buildings in Anderson, Indiana. Firemen said they fear up to 10 other people were trapped in the flames. Japan's Emperor Hirohito and Empress Nagako were guests of honor Thursday night at a White House dinner. President Ford spoke of peace and cooperation between the two countries and made no mention of World War II, but the Emperor said he deeply deplores what he called that most unfortunate war. Chairman Arthur Burns of the Federal Reserve Board says if New York City defaults on its obligations, it could harm the nation's recovery from the recession. This is a more serious view of the effects of such a default than that taken by Ford administration officials. Treasury Secretary Simon has minimized the potential threat of such a failure. Both Simon and President Ford have said they oppose any federal effort to help New York. Now this.
Hemorrhoid sufferers, the proof is here. Proof from leading doctors and hospitals of a medication that helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. It's doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H. Hundreds of tests prove that in many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief of occasional pain and itch and helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues. Preparation H, ointment or suppositories, use only as directed. Doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H helps shrink swollen hemorrhoidal tissues.
Hey, who's that drink for?
Oh, it's for Charlie.
you know, it's just a little one, Charlie.
Good old Charlie. One more for the rug.
Now, come on, Edna. So Charlie drinks a little, so he spills on a rug. You know, Charlie's a good friend. You know that.
It's not the rug I'm worried about. I'm worried about Charlie.
No. She's right to worry, because Charlie's kind of drinking is not social drinking.
A public service message by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Veteran Hollywood comedian Groucho Marx on Thursday celebrated his 85th birthday. A small family gathering was held in Los Angeles. Groucho was quoted as saying he is in excellent health. A larger party will be held Sunday with such guests as Mae West and George Burns. Mae West, by the way, is 83 years old. George Burns is now 79. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Wouldn't it be a trip if Mae West and Groucho got together? Former Oregon Governor Tom McCall has been named winner of Outdoor Life magazine's National Conservation Award. McCall will receive the award Tuesday here in the Rose City. The director of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, John McKean, will make the presentation on behalf of the magazine at a reception for the former governor. The Sportsman's Steelhead campaign in Oregon and McCall's role in the campaign are featured in the magazine's October issue, in the story entitled The Great Fish War. Well, the Bureau of Land Management says vandalism seems to escalate during fall hunting season when about $20,000 worth of damage is done annually to BLM facilities here in Oregon. An outdoor recreation planner for BLM, Percy Brown, says gangs of rifle-equipped rowdies account for a large share of the damage. Says the vandalism includes destroying signs, throwing large boulders through toilet buildings, shooting holes in buildings, ripping lavatories from walls, defacing tables, buildings, and other facilities, and removing some hand pumps and pump handles from wells. The office of Governor Bob Straub announced today that Straub will visit central and eastern Oregon on October 19th through the 22nd to conduct the third in a series of public town hall meetings. Previous town hall tours took the governor to the southern Oregon southern part of the state and the coast. The four-day town hall swing in central and eastern Oregon takes the governor to Bend, Lakeview, Klamath Falls, Ontario, Baker, and LeGrand. There, the governor will listen to citizens' complaints as well as meet with some county and city officials. A young woman whose nude and mud-caked body was found buried in a shallow grave near Lava Butte, south of Bend in central Oregon, may have been the victim of an execution-type slaying. That's the word from Dr. Larry Luman, Deputy State Medical Examiner. It's going to be cloudy tonight, rain tomorrow, and then a few showers and sunny periods on Saturday, with low both nights in the lower 50s, high tomorrow Saturday in the upper 60s, 80%. The chance of rain tomorrow, 60% tomorrow night. That's Radio 97 News. It's 11:08.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The story we shall bring you in a few minutes is titled The Man Who Ran Away. The wish to run away is a common one. Usually it is an impulse not too hard to resist, but often it is a compulsion, and there is no time to think what it is we are running away from and what it is we are running to.
How dare you? How dare you enter this house?
I knocked. Two, three times.
I could shoot you, you know.
Please.
And no one would blame me. You're trespassing.
I know,
and this is my house, and no one can come in here unless invited by me.
But I...
And I invite no one.
Our mystery drama, The Man Who Ran Away, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of efficiency that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind.
Some 3,000 calls a month like this one come into the National Gun Tracing Center from law enforcement agencies throughout the country requesting information on guns used in crimes.
Hello, this is ATF with the Gun Trace request.
We check with both national and foreign manufacturers and forward the dealer's name to the requesting agency. In some cases, we can do this in a matter of minutes.
I will hold. I'm sorry to report that the owner said the gun was stolen about 6 months ago, and he forgot to report it.
I'm Rex Davis, Director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Gun tracing
is often the only means of solving a crime. If you secure your gun against theft, you make our job and that of your local police that much easier. Place a complete description of your gun with your other important papers. And if your gun is stolen, report it at once to the police or ATF. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
It is not only children who run away. Grown people do it too. With children, we're apt to call it an act of defiance. With a grown man, we're at a loss to say what it is. But I strongly suspect it is a cry of pain. Listen now to the story of David, the man who ran away.
David, let me explain.
Never mind, Mona.
There are things you should know.
I know enough.
Where are you going?
I have no idea.
But we should talk about it.
No, we shouldn't.
Don't you want to hear what I have to say?
You've said it all, Mona, my dear wife.
You're taking the car.
Yes, I am.
But why are you doing this?
Because I've got to get away.
David, you can't. David, come back.
Hello?
Jack, Mona. Jack, I did something stupid.
Yeah? What now?
That watch I gave you for your birthday, I charged it. I meant to go in and pay the bill the next day, but I forgot.
Yeah? So?
The bill came today, and David saw it. Now he knows everything.
You told him?
What else could I do?
How did he take it?
He up and left. Took the car.
What do you mean, left? For where?
I don't know.
Didn't you ask him?
He just said he had to get away.
And when did all this happen?
This morning.
He'll be back.
It's 3:00 and he isn't back yet. Hasn't phoned, nothing.
Well, don't worry. Just give him time. He'll be back.
Anybody home? Is anybody home? What are you in? Is anybody in here? Anyone? Oh.
How dare you? How dare you enter this house?
Well, I knocked 2-3 times.
I could shoot you, you know.
Please.
You're trespassing.
Please, my car is out of gas, and I wondered if I
might
use...
This is my house, and no one can come in here unless invited. By me.
I know, but
And I invite no one.
I'm sorry.
Hush.
I didn't mean to...
I should be quiet.
It's just a horse.
It's his horse.
Oh, I can see it.
Move away from that window.
What?
Don't stand in that window. Move away.
Oh, all right.
He might think it was I. standing there.
Oh?
On the other hand, no one could mistake you for me.
No, not very likely.
But he might think I'd invited you here.
Well, I could explain.
He's very jealous, though he has no reason to be. But he loves me desperately.
Well, I don't want to make any trouble for you.
Oh, you won't. We all make our own trouble, don't you think?
I don't know.
I do. And that's the way it should be, huh? Come. Into the parlor, why don't you? We'll have a little talk.
But the man on horseback...
Don't worry about him. He'll be back tomorrow. In the morning, and again in the evening. Tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that, and so on. Please, come into the parlor. You will tell me your troubles, and I'll tell you mine. This is Mona, Jack.
Oh, has he come home?
No, and it's after 10 o'clock.
Well, give him time.
How much time?
Look, he's probably out somewhere getting drunk.
I doubt that.
Or with some woman.
Oh, no.
You want to get in touch with the police?
Oh, no. No, not that.
Yeah, it's too soon.
David would hate that.
Well, hang in there. He'll come back. You'll see.
Everyone has troubles, you know. Little problems of one kind or another.
I'm sure that's true.
You haven't told me much about yours.
Well, you haven't told me anything about yours.
Oh, mine can wait. Now, you said you became upset. That was your word, wasn't it? Upset. And you ran away. You kept running, not knowing what you were running to.
Not caring.
Simply running away. From what?
From something unpleasant.
You're a grown man. How old are you?
36.
Have you always run away from each unpleasantness, such as losing a job, being snubbed by a friend, reprimanded by a superior, things like that?
No.
Then this unpleasantness was something more than unpleasant. Yes?
Yes.
It was something quite dreadful. Am I right?
Yes.
Not a death, and not the death of someone you love?
Not exactly.
Ah, but I am getting warm.
I don't know why we have to go into all this.
Oh, but we do. It's very important. Now, not the death of someone you loved, but something like it, something close to it. Yes, I think so. All right, then. The beloved one did not die, no. But something did happen, something that distressed you terribly, made it impossible to go on living as before, made it imperative for you to run away. Now, what could that be?
Really, I don't...
If she did not die, then perhaps her love died. Her love for you.
I really don't want to talk about
my,
it.
What a sensitive nerve I've touched. Dear man, I'm so sorry for the pain you're feeling. So very sorry.
I think I'd better leave. Thank you for everything.
Don't go.
This door...
What about the door?
It won't open.
Of course it will open.
Well, it's locked or something.
Who ever heard of a door locked from the inside?
Did you lock it?
My dear man, I like your company, but not so much as to lock you in.
Well, then, why won't the door open?
Because you don't want it to open.
But I do.
Do you really?
I'd like to leave, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. But you... You only half-heartedly want to leave. The other half of your heart wants to stay. You know I'm right. So say it.
Why? You may be right.
No. I am right. Now, come back and sit down and talk to me.
I don't really feel like talking.
Then let me talk. Huh? Her love for you died. Not little by little, or the shock wouldn't have been so great. Am I right so far?
You're right about the shock.
Then the love may have been dying for some time, but you only just now discovered the truth?
Yes.
I'm not so naive as to think you found them locked in an embrace, in bed. No, nothing like that. I believe you found out in some foolish, fatuous way. It was something really inane that led to the truth, was it not?
She gave him a watch. An expensive watch.
Yes?
And she charged it to to our account. I saw the bill.
Oh, how very idiotic of her. Is she an idiot?
No.
Then she must be very inexperienced.
I suppose.
This is probably her first infidelity.
Perhaps.
Oh, certainly, without doubt.
Well, that's very small comfort.
Oh, my dear, I know. Believe me, I know. Because it is not the infidelity itself that plagues you, sir.
But it is.
No. No, no. It's the shock of discovering that you are not all you thought you were. Not to her. Not to the one you entrusted with your pride, your confidence, your manhood. Oh, no. It is not the infidelity which matters. It is the crushing of self-respect. That's what does the damage. A little love affair on the side. What is that? It's a little love affair on the side, no more. But it has made you feel that for her, you were not enough. That you did not suffice to keep her happy and content. That she needed a little love affair. That is what hurts. Are you crying a little?
I guess I am.
Well, good. It's only right and proper that you should.
I'm sorry.
If one does not weep for one's lost innocence, then for what should one weep?
I didn't know that I was quite so innocent.
No. You thought you were grown up and sophisticated and immune to shock. Well, we all think that until the blow falls. Now, what to do with you?
You want me to leave?
Not at all. I want you to stay. Let me give you some wine.
Oh, no, no, thanks.
No? Some men would run away into wine or whiskey.
Not me. I only get sleepy.
I have some cocaine. Would you like some of that?
Cocaine? Oh, no, 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 no. I don't use any kind of drug. I don't even like to take aspirin.
There are those who run away to drugs to help the pain.
Well, I'm not one of them.
So? What are we to do with you?
I guess what I really want to do is to go to sleep.
Aha, sleep. The safest place to run. Would you like to sleep here? There are plenty of beds.
Well, if you don't mind.
Come. I'll show you the way.
You're very kind.
I can be even kinder. Would you like me to come to bed with you? Sex, you know, can be the most delectable escape of all.
Alone in a strange house with a woman a little more than strange. Is this what our man has run away to? Is this the escape that he sought? Or merely the one he stumbled upon? Or is it the one he was inevitably drawn to? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Children make a lot of noise, but to me it's a wonderful sound. They have a lot of energy, a lot of playing to do before they take on the serious world of adulthood. Every day they take on a bit more of this wonderful world. I guess we're lucky, because there are so many places in the world where the children are too weak, even for play. Bangladesh, Honduras, right here at home. They're weak from a lack of protein and essential vitamins, weak from the bad water and the parasites that rob them of important nutrients. A childhood of tears instead of laughter. And even if they do manage to become adults, their minds and limbs will be stunted by chronic malnutrition. You can help a child to grow up strong and independent, maybe even be one of tomorrow's leaders. Send your contribution to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
Ahmed is rattling his pan, begging for food. If he doesn't get it, he's going to die. Ahmed lives in Pakistan, and he's only 11 years old. He needs our help. George W. is an alcoholic. He wishes he weren't, but it's a disease, and he wants to get rid of it so he can once again support his family and bring dignity back into his life. Most of us are much better off. We have enough food to eat, and we have good health. When worshiping God, we express our thanks. But God wants more from us than thanks. We must do something for those of us not so well off. This year, while celebrating America's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans to help relieve suffering. You'll end up helping yourself as well. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and this station.
Has passed since a desperate man stumbled upon, sought refuge in, or was inexorably drawn to a strange house many miles from his home. And in this house was a woman who, while she did not precisely welcome him, still urged him to stay, offering him every consolation, including herself.
What's happening here?
Well, the man on the horse.
You were standing in the window.
No, I wasn't.
He saw you.
No.
Well, then why did he turn in and come up to the house?
I don't know. I think he's leaving.
Get away from the window.
He can't see me. He isn't looking this way.
He's never done that before. Actually come up to the house.
Is that so terrible?
He's supposed to wait for the signal. He rides past each day, in the morning and again just before it grows dark, waiting for the signal that I have forgiven him.
Who is he?
He is my husband, of course. Who did you think he is?
I didn't know.
And when he sees me standing in the window, dressed in my white muslin, the one with the lavender ribbons and the blue rose, then he will know that I have forgiven him, that he may enter this house, and I will be his again.
I see. At least I think I...
He's getting impatient, wouldn't you say? Else he'd never have turned in and come up so close to the house. Poor darling. I can't blame him. It's been a long time. How long can a man wait for his wife to forgive him?
Forgive him for what?
Oh, come now. You must know.
For infidelity?
Of course. Oh, I know it didn't mean anything to him, not really, but it did awful things to me.
And that's why you understood me so well.
People don't understand things they haven't experienced. They may try. They may pretend. They may sympathize and try to console, but they don't understand. How can they?
You understood me so well.
And I was right, wasn't I? That there was nothing for you to do but run away, to escape.
You were right.
And I was right, too, wasn't I? That the most delectable escape is in a strange bed. Wasn't I right about that? Come now, admit it.
I...
You don't think I'm speaking of love, do you? Oh, no. There's no love between you and me. There's not even affection. Although I'm sure you're a very nice man.
No, no, no. There's nothing but a blind search for oblivion, your search and mine. We are two aching, passionate people, asking only to ease the ache and expend the passion in a wild and blind embrace. Oh, no. There's no love here. My love is with the man on the horse. Yours is with the woman you left back wherever you came from. No. No love. Love would only get in the way.
Hello?
Is this the David Trent residence?
Yes. Who is this?
Is Mr. David Trent there?
No. Not right now.
When do you expect him?
I'm not sure. Who is this?
Am I speaking with Mrs. Trent?
Yes.
Do you own a red sedan car, Mrs. Trent? License plate number XM458.
Why, yes. Who is this, please?
Ah, your car was stolen recently, is that right?
Why do you say that?
Well, because I saw it parked down the road from where I live, in front of an empty house.
Where do you live?
Outside the town of Marathon.
I'm sorry, I never heard of it.
Well, it's a very small town, between Norbury and Kermack.
I'm afraid I never heard of them either.
Well, they're all very small towns, madam, you see, in the mountains. But if you want to reclaim your car, I can tell you how to get there.
You say the car is parked in front of an empty house. Is it all right? I mean, there wasn't an accident or anything.
Well, it looked all right.
Are you sure the house is empty?
Oh, yes.
How do you know?
I own it.
Don't you think so?
Think what? About what?
That love would only get in the way?
In the way of what?
In the way of our little retreat.
Is that what it is?
I made my retreat to this house a long time ago. Then a week ago, you made yours.
I didn't know I was making a retreat.
You didn't think it's only the religious who make retreats, did you?
Well, I never really thought about it.
Many people make retreats, though they don't always call them that. Alcohol is a retreat.
Really?
Alcoholism is a permanent retreat. Drugs are a retreat. Addiction is a permanent retreat. A breakdown is a retreat. Insanity is a permanent retreat. And, of course, the last, the drastic, and the really permanent retreat is suicide.
Aren't we getting a little morbid?
Oh, what a touchy man you are. Are you afraid to talk about serious things like love and loss and death?
No, not afraid. I just don't want to spoil the retreat.
Would you like to make it permanent? That would mean becoming a hermit. Would you like to be a hermit?
Well, no. But I wouldn't be. Not as long as you're here.
But I shan't always be here.
Why not? Why won't you?
Did I ever say I would?
Not in so many words, but I assumed. I took it for granted.
That was very foolish of you.
Yes, I suppose it was. If you're planning on leaving...
Eventually.
Well, then, I might as well plan on it, too.
I think you should.
Actually, I might as well leave right now.
If you like.
You don't care?
I don't care. No.
It doesn't open.
Try harder.
It's no good. I can't.
Let me open it for you.
If you don't mind.
Not in the least. Well, think of that. Imagine. I can't open it either.
And that means...
That means that I don't want to leave any more than you do.
And you'll stay? As long as I do?
You'd like that?
Very much.
No, my dear. It's impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Because... We are becoming too much like lovers. Well, we nearly had a quarrel just now. Do you realize that? Just like real lovers.
Would that be so awful?
You don't know how awful. No. I can't open the door now. But tomorrow...
You won't want to open it tomorrow any more than you do now.
Oh, yes, yes. Because tomorrow I shall put on the white muslin dress with the lavender ribbons and the blue rose, and I shall wash and dress my hair. And when he gallops up the road, he will see me standing in the window. He will look up at me and smile with joy. And he will wave to me and know that his long waiting is over. And I shall open the door and go out to him.
Yeah, hello?
Jack, this is Mona.
Any word from Dave?
Not from him, no. But a man named Gregory Cape called me. He says our car is parked in front of an old deserted house down the road from where he lives. Been there for a week, he says. That's exactly how long David's been gone.
Well, how does he know it's your car?
He checked out the license plate.
Where is this old deserted house?
About 200 miles from here, outside a little town called Marathon.
Is Dave holed up inside this old house? I mean, did the man say?
I didn't tell him about David. He thinks the car was stolen and abandoned. I let it go at that.
Probably is. That's my guess.
I intend to find out. And that's why I called you. I want to borrow your car.
Well, sure.
I'll drive up there tomorrow. It's too late to go now.
You want me to bring the car over to your house?
If you don't mind.
Want me to drive up to this place with you?
I know how to get there. Mr. Kate told me, in detail.
Hey, I just as soon, you know.
I don't want you to, Jack. I don't think David's in a mood to face you right now.
I guess not.
Actually, I might as well tell you now. If you'll just let me use your car tomorrow, then I don't want to have anything more to do with you. You understand?
I understand.
Aren't you coming downstairs?
Soon. Yes, soon.
I'm so afraid of losing you. Sometimes I think I have, or that I never really found you. Can you hear me?
I'm busy.
Doing what?
You'll see.
Well, not... You're not. Oh, not yet.
Here I am. You may look... Well, what do you think? Do you like it? Come now, be honest. Tell me, do you like the way I look?
Yes.
You really mean it?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry it took so long. But this is a very elaborate dress. And my hair is so difficult to handle.
That's the dress, the white muslin with the lavender ribbons. Where's the blue rose?
It was so faded and a little crushed. I don't think he'll notice that it's missing if he remembers that it was ever there.
No man could ever forget you in that dress.
It is pretty, isn't it? And it's becoming, isn't it? It suits me, don't you think?
You're going to stand in the window, aren't you? In that dress.
Of course I am. I told you I would when I thought he'd suffered enough.
He'll be riding by very soon now.
Yes, any minute. What kind of pose shall I assume? Huh? Perhaps a hand to one cheek, would that be good?
Come away from that window.
Or would it be better if I were just full face with my arms at my sides? Very simple, very unaffected.
Come away
don't
from that.
Don't you touch me. Don't you dare touch me.
You can say that after everything
that
we've...
That is over. It's over. Oh, I think you've mussed my hair. Well, it can't be helped. I've always told you my retreat wasn't permanent, that the day would come.
But not today.
Why not? I think I hear him. Oh, yes, yes, it is. How do I look? Well, no matter, it's too late to think about that now. Oh, hear how fast he gallops. He was always like that. Always at a hard gallop on these backcountry roads. There he is. Now.
No, wait. Wait. Didn't he see me? Oh, that's impossible. He must have seen me. Why did he go on past? He didn't even look up. He never slowed his horse. He never even... Oh, no. Oh, no, it can't be that he doesn't care. It can't be that. Can it? Tell me. Can it be that? Can it be that he doesn't care?
To err is human. We all know that only too well. But is it really so divine to forgive? Especially when the one who is forgiven shows no appreciation of our forgiveness. Perhaps never wanted it, never needed it, and is in no mood to accept it. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
There's a special kind of beer. Maybe you know it. Budweiser. It was created nearly a century ago by people who really cared about things, who took pride in brewing a quality beer, no matter what the cost. In time, in ingredients, in anything. Today, the people who brew the King of Beer still have that special pride. And every taste of Beechwood Age Budweiser says so loud and clear. Hear it talking?
Ah, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Dr. Margaret Mead presents alternatives for working mothers.
When I was a child, I was always very much interested in children. And as I was growing up, I hoped to have 6 children, and I planned their names. Now, for many years, I was unable to have children. Finally, I was successful in having one child, whom I enjoyed very much, who was born just at the beginning of World War II. What I did was to move in with another family, and we shared the tasks of supporting and looking after this very large household, which is, I feel, the great solution for women who want to have children and also want to follow some kind of career.
Families together can find new ways of childcare so mothers can fully realize their God-given potential. Consider this option when you make choices. This affirmation of family by the Mennonite churches.
David Trent, the man who ran away, has spent the past week in a strange house with a woman he has come to know intimately, who, in our last act, stood at one of the front windows of the old house, listening to the sound of hoofbeats approaching.
Here he is! No! Didn't he see me? He must have seen me. Why did he go on past? He didn't even look up. Oh, wait! Wait!
What are you doing?
I have to call him back. It can't be that he doesn't care. Oh, what's the matter with this door?
Can't you open it?
Of course I can. Why doesn't it open?
You said to me the day I got here, you don't want it to open. That's why.
Yes, Mrs. Trent?
Yes, you're Mr. Cape, Mr. Gregory Cape.
Come in.
Thank you.
Do you have any trouble getting here?
Some.
Well, we're a little off the beaten track here.
It was very kind of you to call me about my about his car.
He didn't come with you?
No. Oh, I might as well tell you, Mr. Cape, my husband left home a week ago. I haven't heard from him since. I think there's a good possibility he's hidden himself away in that house.
I hope not.
Why? Is there something... Is there anything dangerous?
Oh, no. Not dangerous. Just a big, empty house with a sad history.
You own the house, you told me.
Yes, I wish I didn't. The house belonged to my grandfather. He built it at the turn of the century for a beautiful young woman. For a few years, the house was full of laughter and music and dancing, and then one day...
Yes?
Oh, it was a trifling affair. My grandfather was a lusty young man in the year 1901. There was a pretty parlor maid, and my grandfather was not true, to misquote Shakespeare slightly. He gave dalliance too much rein. Well, the beautiful young girl he married drove him from the house. The laughter and the music and the dancing went on, but without him. It went on for a long time. It became wilder and more abandoned. The neighbors protested. They took steps to force her out of the house. When that happened, the music and the dancing stopped quite suddenly. There were not more guests.
But she stayed on?
She stayed on. First of every month, cases of liquor were delivered to the house. The laughter within was no longer merry or gay. It was hysterical and spiteful. And then that stopped, too.
She died?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It was about that time that cocaine was discovered. By Freud, actually. Though few people remember that. As an anesthetic for operations on the eye, Freud himself was addicted, I believe, for a short time. And the lovely lady in the house was also addicted for a very long time.
Oh, how unhappy she must have been, your grandmother.
My grandmother? Oh, no, Mrs. Trent. I am the grandson of the parlor maid.
Was I too ugly? Is that why he didn't stop? Have I grown old and hideous?
No.
That can happen, you know. A woman doesn't always realize what time is doing to her. She thinks she's always 18. Is that what's happened to me?
No, believe me.
My pretty dress... Has it turned yellow? Have the ribbons faded?
It's still very pretty, and so are you.
Do you mean that?
With all my heart. I think you should go upstairs and take off your dress and bathe yourself.
I could do that, I suppose.
And then lie down upon your bed and sleep for a while.
Should I do that?
Didn't you tell me that sleep is the safest retreat of all?
I did say that, didn't I? You know, I think you were right about the door. It wouldn't open because I didn't really want it to open. Not really.
Come in if you want to. I can't open the door, but come in if you like.
Hello, David.
Mona. Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. Are you?
Not very.
Oh, I'm sorry.
David, will you come home with me?
Well, now, I don't know about that.
You've been away so long.
Has it been so long?
For me, it has.
How did you find me?
The man who owns this house saw the car out front and took down the license number. He called me. David, please forgive me.
Forgive you? Is that what you want me to do?
I know it can't happen right away.
It might take years and years.
I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if it takes forever. I just want you home where I can take care of you, where we can live together and try to be happy again. David?
Listen. He's come back.
Who?
He's come back to be forgiven. His days of suffering are over. Listen.
She couldn't.
It was a shot, wasn't it?
I never thought.
It sounded as though it came from this house. David.
There's a man outside, lying on the ground. The door opened.
Oh, there he is.
There's his horse.
Do you think he's...
Oh.
It's Mr. Cape.
What in the name... What happened?
We heard a shot.
We thought you'd been shot.
No. My horse stumbled and I went off. That's all that happened. I must have blacked out.
But you're not hurt?
Well, you can see I'm not hurt. Well, it's this house. It's this cursed house. I should never have ridden down here, but I was concerned about you, Mrs. Trent. Ow. Well, at least I see you found your husband.
Yes. Yes, this is David.
Mr. Cape.
Hmm.
You do a lot of riding, don't you? On horseback?
Every day.
The same horse every day?
Yes.
Have you ever, Mr. Cape, known your horse to stumble on flat ground moving at a walk? A slow walk, Mr. Cape? Are you here? It's only me. Don't be afraid. Are you here?
Is that you?
Yes.
I'll come down.
I'll wait.
Have you come to make another retreat?
No.
No? Then why?
I came to tell you that I've bought this house.
Oh? Why have you done that?
I wanted to be sure that you'd always have a place to live.
That was very kind of you.
Well, there was another reason.
You've gone back to the woman who betrayed you. Am I right?
You're right.
And you've forgiven her.
I'm getting back my self-respect. You told me, you know, that a little affair is, well, just a little affair. But the consequences to the third party, the one left out, the one made to feel like an outsider, well, they are very severe, as you well know.
As I well know.
You did shoot him, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
I thought so.
I saw him fall, and a great burden was lifted from my heart.
But you stay on here?
Where would I go? Oh, I can't say I don't miss him. Miss the sound of his horse's hoofbeats pounding up the road. Yes, I miss that. The days seem long without that. Still, what else could I do? What could I do but kill him?
It must have seemed like the only thing.
You were going to tell me the other reason why you bought this house. You said you bought it for me. But there was another reason.
Yes. I bought it for myself.
To live here?
No. At least, not all the time.
Ah, I see.
Just for the times when I need to run away.
To make a retreat? That was very wise of you. And you know, don't you, that whenever you decide to run away, I shall always be here.
I know.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for being here. I wonder if the door will open for me.
Try it. You see?
Yes.
Come back soon.
The rest of us must make our retreats from life and its harshness the best way we can. It is very nice if you can take a vacation in some far-off place. It is also nice to shut oneself in one's room and
and read old books. But only David Trent knows a house where he is perpetually welcome. A house occupied by a certain woman of indeterminate age. I'll be back shortly.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
There's a great deal of talk about facing reality, and I myself endorse all of it. Reality is the safest place to live in. But we have to admit that not all of us are strong enough to live with reality day in, day out. We all must run away from time to time to build up our strength. The thing is, we must always know the way back. For us, the door must always open. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Robert Dryden, Martha Greenhouse, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I wish you could meet a girl you could settle down with.
I'm off dames for the moment. This girl, I... Hey! What kind of crazy... It's the Mercedes. And Laura at the wheel. Look out!
What is the matter with you?
You're out of your mind?
I had to go off the road. Matt, that crazy broad would have rammed into us head on.
What are you talking about?
The green Mercedes that came around the bend. Didn't you see it? Or her?
Round what bend?
Coming the other way, headed towards us.
George, we haven't passed any cars coming or going in the last few minutes.
We just about rammed one going the opposite way less than a minute ago.
A green Mercedes?
Yeah, a 56, a classic. Didn't you see it?
No, I didn't, because it wasn't there.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant... dreams.
This is KOIN Portland. Time is 12 midnight.
CBS News. A translation debate follows a White House toast by visiting Japanese Emperor Hirohito. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Emperor expressed confidence that the story of the generosity and goodwill of the American people will be retold from generation to generation of Japanese for the rest of time. His reference was to the rebuilding of Japan that followed World War II. But controversy attended another remark given in the official translation as saying he deeply deplores World War II. Several Japanese correspondents complained to officials that that translation of the word kaneshini as deplore was too strong, that the word merely means sorrow or regret. The interpretation of Hirohito's remarks is considered important to the Japanese because, while he had been expected to make some expression of regret about the war, it was anticipated he would stop short of anything resembling an apology, as this would not be well received in Japan. The Japanese ambassador in Washington rejected any inference that an attempt would be made to give different degrees of meaning to the emperor's remarks in the United States and in Japan. Ugandan President Idi Amin is expected to leave for home today. U.S. diplomats boycotted a social affair he hosted last night in New York following his remarks about Zionists colonizing the United States. Another controversial head of state is on his way to New York. Cambodia's Prince Norodom Sihanouk is coming to the U.N., where he's pledged before to deliver a speech so strong it would cause President Ford to be defeated in next year's election. Stopping over in Paris, the prince spoke with CBS News correspondent Peter Kalischer.
Our relations with the United States of America are not bad, they are not good, because they do not exist. They do not exist.
And what do you think in the future?
In the future, there is a possibility to have relations, but I cannot say exactly the year.
Cambodian Prince Norodom Sihanouk. CBS News continues following this message.
Do you recognize the voice of this incisive CBS News interviewer?
The idea that man is an aggressive, instinctively violent, naked ape has achieved some currency.
CBS News correspondent Mike Wallace, whose interviewing techniques have won him a lion's share of broadcast journalism's most coveted awards. Mike's talked with everyone from Mideast monarchs like the Shah of Iran to eminent military historians like Samuel Eliot Morrison, presidential aides like John Ehrlichman to bogus biographers like Clifford Irving. The list would take you all the way around the world. Born in Brookline, Massachusetts, and an alumnus of the University of Michigan, Mike began his career with a Chicago newspaper. After serving as a naval officer in the Second World War, he got his broadcasting start at a Chicago radio station. Since then, Mike has become known for his many exclusive and penetrating interviews in politics, the arts, with literary figures, and the like. Listen for him on Mike Wallace at Large, every Monday through Friday, on the CBS Radio Network.
After more than 5 days, the Spaghetti House incident in London is over. Gunmen finally released their hostages and surrendered about 4 hours ago. Bob Dyke was there for the climax and for a detailing of the final moments by a Scotland Yard spokesman.
We have counted six people coming out of the front of the Spaghetti House restaurant. They apparently were the hostages who have been held by the three gunmen here for the past 6 nights. And now perhaps we're ready for an explanation.
Six hostages were released, but they're all in pretty good shape. They've been looked at by the doctor who's been here and taken to hospital. The relatives know about that. They're in pretty good shape, and we're very impressed with them. A little while afterwards, two of the criminals surrendered to the police and came out. The third man, Davis, shot himself, and his being had been looked at by the doctor and has been taken direct to hospital.
And so an end has finally come to the standoff at London's Spaghetti House restaurant after 123 hours. Bob Dyke for CBS News, Knightsbridge, London.
More news in a moment.
Well, this is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind needs special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Lewis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Lewis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Lewis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Lewis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
A West German judge was surprised to find out just how ready everybody was to comply with his instructions when he ordered his courtroom cleared. The order came when laughter erupted over testimony in the trial of two youths charged with disorderly conduct during a political demonstration. After the crowd filed out of the courtroom, authorities realized to their chagrin the defendants had walked out with the spectators and escaped. Mike Stanley, CBS News.